Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So this morning, well, actually, let's talk about the past couple of weeks and some of the things that we've been talking about. And the first one has to do with the fact that Jesus is a beloved Son of God, whom God is well pleased. And we understand that we, too, are beloved children of God. And for exactly who we are, we are loved by God, and God is well pleased. And then we heard 2 weeks of call stories, right? Jesus going along and calling his first disciples. And what was their reaction? Dropped everything and went. So now, over the next 4 weeks, we are now in the Gospel of Matthew, and we're coming into the first public act that Jesus is doing. And usually the first public act in any of the Gospels will give you an idea and set the tone for what that Gospel is about. And this year, we are focused on the Gospel of Matthew. So let's just take a look at the Gospel of Mark, the very first public act that God does, or Jesus in God, sorry, God in Jesus does, is perform an exorcism. I don't know if you remember that. And so what that tells us is that Jesus is the ultimate boundary crosser. Nothing is off limits at all. And as you delve into the Gospel of Mark, you will find that at this point, God is no longer separated from God's people. In the very beginning, when Jesus is baptized, the heavens are torn open, and the Holy Spirit descends as a dove on Jesus. At the very end, at the crucifixion, at the point of Jesus' death, what happens is that the curtain tears open in the temple, that curtain that separates God from God's people. And so it's like God is let loose. So in Mark, it's all about boundary crossing. There are no boundaries of who's in and who's out. I like Mark's gospel. Let's go to Luke. What's the first thing that Luke does? The very first public act of Jesus, it's that Jesus goes to his hometown in Nazareth and preaches in the synagogue. Now, that's kind of a little rough, don't you think it is? Going to your hometown, getting up and preaching in front of everyone. And so he preaches, and his preaching is a summary of what his ministry is going to be and who it's going to be for. And this is what Jesus speaks of. He talks about the fact that he is the savior of the marginalized, the outcast, and the unseen. And so throughout Luke, that is basically what we're going to see and understand about who Jesus is. One who is for the outcast, the marginalized, and the unseen. I like Luke. Then we get to John. Anybody remember the first, and the kids actually learned this a couple of weeks ago, the first public act of Jesus. Anybody remember this? It's the wedding at Cana. Anybody remember what happened at the wedding at Cana? It's okay if you don't know. It is that Jesus turns water into wine. So it's not the miracle of the water becoming wine, although that's pretty awesome. I would love for that to happen. But it really has to do with the abundance. So there are 6 jars, which is the equal of 20 to 30 gallons in each of those jars, filled to the brim. I'm going to say overflowing most likely. And it is the best, best wine when they least expect it. At the point in the party where everyone's drunk, and what happens when everyone's drunk? Do you bring out the best wine? No. Everyone knows that's when the cheap stuff comes out because nobody's going to know. But you see, Jesus is the exact opposite. I like John. Now we get to Matthew. And what is the first public act that Jesus does? He goes up on a mountain, sits down, his disciples and others gather around him, and what does he begin to do? He begins to teach them. He begins to preach to them. I am going to be honest with you. Matthew's not my favorite gospel. But there's so much in this that we can learn about Jesus through Matthew's eyes. You see, this gospel was written for an audience or Jewish believers at that time. And the focus at that time or those people that lived then would be like on the Essenes who lived in Qumran. And they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. And so we get an idea of what that was like. These were people that separated themselves. Purity was the most important thing. If you led a pure life, you would get closer to God. And so for them, it was all about the laws of purity. And they were expecting when Jesus came, when the Messiah came, there would be a clean, pure kingdom. The Pharisees. They were the law-observant group. They were the ones who said, if you obey the law, then you will benefit. And so for them, the kingdom was all about good people. So the kingdom would come for the good people. And then there are the zealots. Anybody know the zealots? That's the group who promoted religious patriotism. They expected a God who was going to support their efforts that would establish a kingdom of free people. And it didn't matter what it took to get that kingdom going. It could be war. It could be isolationism. It didn't matter. That's the first century believers. Let's take a look at the 21st century believers. Those of us who are gathered around and we hear these, this sermon on what's called the Sermon on the Mount. We hear the words that Jesus first speak. Jesus is teaching us and teaching them what it means to be a disciple. And that's the key right there. Jesus is teaching. So the very first thing that we have to understand in being a disciple is that we have to be a student. We have to be a learner. We have to go into a time of lifelong learning. I always say and love the fact that I'm a lifelong learner because I love to learn. But this stuff isn't easy that we're going to be learning. And that's why it takes a lifetime for us to practice and learn this. How hard is it? The very first thing that Jesus does is bless the disciples. Bless these learners. These learners that are gathered there and us as learners who are gathered now. I want you to listen to these blessings again. Close your eyes and hear them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Those we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. And one of the things that we heard in this blessing is the heart of the blessings, because right there in the middle is righteousness and mercy. Jesus was all about righteousness, God's righteousness, and mercy. God's mercy. And my goodness, do we not know that God's righteousness is not the same as our righteousness? But how do we know this? What is God's righteousness? God's righteousness is our hearts that are set on the will of God. So the next question is, well, what is the will of God? The will of God is that our hearts be set toward God, that our hearts, our love, be set toward the neighbor, that our hearts, that our love be set toward, yeah, I'm going to say it, the enemy. And that's what God calls us into, to be righteous and merciful, to be forgiven. And we don't do this to puff ourselves up and make ourselves look good. We don't do this so that others can say, oh, she's just such a good Christian. Or did you see what he did? He is just so wonderful. We don't do this to win God's approval. And we most certainly don't do this. I want you to really remember this one. We don't do this to earn points to get into heaven. We are called to be righteous and merciful because that is who and what our God is. God in Christ is the one who saves, who reconciles, who redeems, and who gives new life. And that new life starts now and continues on through eternity. And because of that, and God knowing that we cannot do this call on our own, God sends the Holy Spirit to be and to help us act differently. You know, we sang those words today. We are called. We are called. And it's not easy. If you see what we are called to do, and we will uncover that over the next 3 weeks, you and I will agree that it is so countercultural, that is so very hard to do. But here's what we know. We know that we are beloved daughters and sons of this God who is righteous and who is merciful, the one who came for every single one of us, the one who is sitting and teaching the disciples on that mountain. You and I are just like those first disciples. You and I are blessed. And our blessing has nothing to do with our wealth, with our power, with our status in society. It has nothing to do with that. If you're wealthy, that's wonderful. But don't call that a blessing from God. Because that says those who are not wealthy are not blessed. And that's not true. If you have your health, are you blessed and the person that does not have their health is not blessed? No, not at all. Our blessing comes because we are beloved children of a God who is merciful and a God who is righteous. Our blessing actually calls us to be different than the way this world calls us to be. And that's hard. Loving all and forgiving all is probably the hardest thing that we can live out on our own. See, we don't live it out on our own. We live it out through Jesus Christ, who bestows this incredible blessing on us. We need to hear this blessing this morning, first and foremost, before anything else. Jesus is indeed getting the disciples ready by blessing them. Jesus is preparing us too, because you know something? The days ahead are going to be very difficult. We hear, blessed are those who mourn. This is not those who are crying for those that they've lost. It's not that kind of mourning. It's the kind of mourning that your heart is aching for our brothers and sisters around the world who are hurting. That's the kind of mourning. And I don't know how you guys have been feeling lately, but my heart is breaking and hurting. We need to hear this blessing. We need to hear that we are called to fight injustice. That's what we're called to do. We're called to speak up. We are called to love our enemy. We're called to be different, to act different, to be new and to act new. To be a beloved child and act like a beloved child. Because what Jesus is saying, goes against what the rest of the world says. This is a lifelong learning, because over the next 3 weeks, we're going to hear what Jesus is all about and what we're being called to do and to be. And it's not easy. Could take a lifetime. And it will take a lifetime. We're going to take steps forward and we're going to fall back. We may take leaps forward, little slipbacks. We may take a few steps forward, major setbacks. We may say something that after it comes out of our mouth, we realize not what Jesus has taught us, not how Jesus would be. We may say something or do something and not even realize that it goes against Jesus' teaching. And I know for me, that's probably primarily where I fall down. But here's the great news. We have a loving God who forgives us, who is merciful to us and to all. A God who blesses. A God who says, live out what I am going to teach you, because you will help to bring the kingdom here fully. Christ is present with us in this very place. You are blessed. This week, I'm giving you homework. And here's your homework: to go back and read these blessings in Matthew again and again and again each day. Don't go beyond that. Just read the blessing. Because this work is difficult. And we have to remember that first and foremost, we are blessed. And if we are blessed, then we can do anything that God asks of us. Amen.